in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. What a difference a week makes. I mentioned last week when I broadcast from the railroad days in Durand that it didn't matter what time of the year it was, whatever weekend the railroad days fall on, that's going to be a horrible weekend. And it was. It was kind of chilly. It was raining. It was cloudy. And I said, you know, next weekend will be great. And lo and behold, this weekend has been phenomenal. 80 degrees, sunny. I got so much yard work done. I got the pool opened. What a great weekend. So, with that being said, I decided to bring the show outside, take advantage of the beautiful Michigan weather. So if you hear birds, if you hear wind, if you hear children playing, enjoy the ambiance, because in Michigan, you never know when that's going to happen again. But let's move on to more important things. Happy Memorial Day to all my listeners. With that being said, we here at the Paranormal Patriot would like you to realize and remember exactly what Memorial Day is all about. Now, we here at the Paranormal Patriot, and I'm sure most of my, if not all my listeners, honor, respect, and adore everyone that has taken the time and sacrifice to serve in our military to protect our country and protect our freedoms. However, there's a misconception that Memorial Day is to honor all military people. Not so much. Memorial Day is to honor those that have given the ultimate sacrifice, that have given their lives in defense of this country. Now, honestly, I think those people shouldn't just have one day devoted to them. They should have every day, because without the people that have served and have, again, given the ultimate sacrifice, paid with their lives for the freedoms that we hold dear and take for granted, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here talking to you today. We have so many people, and again, I don't want to disrespect the military men and women that serve this country on a daily basis. As you know, you should know by now that I respect them. I give them the utmost adoration. But this day, Monday, is for the men and women that have given the ultimate sacrifice. So remember that. We all have our barbecues. We all have, a lot of us have the extra long weekend. And that's nice. That really is. It breaks up the monotony of our lives. But as a service to those men and women who can't be with us today, take a second out Monday. Just to, I don't care if it's publicly, silently, just say thank you. Without them, we wouldn't have the freedoms that we hold dear today. And for those of my listeners who've had military men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and laid down their lives for this country and are listening to this show right now, you have my utmost respect, my deepest condolences. Words can't express how much you mean to me and my family, because without your family member doing what they did, I can't give my kids what I can give them right now. So thank you, and please remember to, while you're drinking your beer, while you're cooking your brat, while you're cooking your burger on the grill, just stop. Just for a second, and silently say thank you. Because that's what Memorial Day is all about. It's not about the current members of the military. We honor them every day. Every time we see them, we thank them. Or you should be. But this is the day, Memorial Day, that you need to honor those that you can't say thank you to. You can do it in your own special way. So happy Memorial Day, everybody. I hope you enjoy yourself. This show this week is going to, well, it's going to be kind of crazy. It's kind of going to be kind of hectic because, let's be honest, the news this week was coming at you hot and heavy. Every time you turned around, there was something else breaking, something else of news, a newsworthy story coming at you going, what is going on? Where is all this coming from? What is going on in this world? This show is going to be almost entirely politics, current events. I'm going to throw in a brief little story about another moth owlman sighting in Chicago. The reason for that is that makes number 7. There's something going on, and this one's a little different. But regardless, we're going to talk politics. We're going to talk current events. We're going to talk just idiots out there. There's a certain idiot I'm going to talk about. We'll talk about that on the last segment of the first part of the show. They have no clue. And the problem is that's a sentiment that is felt by many, many people, and it's going to get us all killed, to be honest with you. So we're going to talk the Trump budget. We're going to talk the Republicans' border adjustment tax. We're going to talk about the Obama administration violating the Privacy Act. We're going to talk, of course, about the Manchester bombing. We're going to talk about another Mothman sighting, as I say. Then we're going to go into Ask the Paranormal Patriot. I have a question from a dear friend of mine. Everybody knows Andy from Texas. I've got a question that he asked me, and I will answer it for him. Then we'll end the show with, of course, the Brian Maddow Awards. And this is a special award because it's not just one person. It is just a segment of the population, but it has to be given. Not a lot of people have heard about this, but when you hear about this, you're going to think I'm joking. But oh my gosh, these people are dead serious. And this is what's wrong with our country. So, we're going to take a quick break. I want you to sit back. I need you to just relax, because when we come back, I'm just going to rapid fire into everything. It's going to be hot. It's going to be heavy. I'm going to be bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. If I don't do that, if I talk like I normally do, this will be a 4-hour show. So I'm going to drive the point home. Move on. So sit back, relax, and strap yourself in. This is Tom Velasquez, and you are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Alrighty, again, I want to give a little bit of exposure to, everybody knows Richard Knox. He is a member of the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group, and I want to give them as much exposure as I can. So if you live in the Southern Michigan or surrounding area, and you've had some type of encounter that you cannot explain, you need to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. They can be contacted at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. The Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group is a group of field researchers devoted to getting to the bottom of the Bigfoot mystery. So if you've had an encounter that you can't explain, you owe it to yourself to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group again at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. They will give you an honest, very expert, very professional evaluation on what they believe you encountered. With that being said, if you are a member of any type of paranormal group and you would like your group featured on this show, just like the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group is, send me an email at theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com, and I will give you the exposure that you deserve. So, again, if you've had any type of experience in the Southern Michigan or surrounding area, you need to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. right, let's not waste any time. Let's get in to the crux of the show. So, this week, Trump's budget, a new foundation for American greatness, was revealed. I'm sure it'll be repealed, but it was revealed this week. And as expected, the Democrats are panicking and the media is trying to convince us that our children and our parents, that in the elderly, well, they're going to die because of this budget. But if you look a little deeper into this budget, it's not so bad. So let's go a little bit deeper into it. Now, to start, if the essential provisions of this budget are preserved, it would do what it claims and balance the budget in 10 years. Now, I say if the essential provisions are preserved, because of course there's not going to be any Democrat that is going to vote for this. And you've got people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain that are coming out and saying this is dead on arrival. These rhinos, Republicans in name only, have got to be removed from office. John McCain is a piece of dirt. How this man continues to be reelected is only on name recognition. And the name recognition factor in any election has to go bye-bye. We need to start electing these people on what they say they're going to do. Well, the problem is John McCain said he's going to be a conservative, he's going to be fiscally sound, but when it comes to it, no, he's not going to. So those two say the budget is dead on arrival. We'll see what happens when it goes in front of Congress. But this budget at its core, it proposes to cut the bloat that is plaguing our deficit. So what is contributing to our deficit? Well, the biggest factors are government discretionary programs as well as entitlement programs. The reason the Democrats and the John McCains and Lindsey Grahams of the world are complaining about this budget is these are the programs that they're pandering to their voters. So if these programs are eliminated, how are they going to get reelected? These same politicians would rather retain their position rather than balance the budget. In their eyes, it's power, their power over the prosperity and betterment of this country. They're not doing what the people of their congressional districts have asked them to do. They say they're going to do it to get elected, and then they follow their beliefs. Well, I can't win the next election if we eliminate welfare. If I make these people work, how am I going to, what platform am I going to stand on? I can't win if I say I'm going to balance a budget, if this budget that Donald Trump proposed actually balances the budget. What am I going to run on? So they are going to kill this plan before it even gets started. And that, to me, that's not right. That's ludicrous. But regardless, the interest on the national debt and the entitlements, which are Social Security, Medicare for the elderly, and support programs for the poor and those unwilling to work, they make up approximately 2/3 of the budget. In other words, this budget essentially says, look, for those of you who can work but don't want to work, your day's done. Your free paycheck is done. This is not going to kill the elderly. 2/3 of the budget, 66% of our deficit would be eliminated if these basic provisions in this budget are passed. 66%. Let's not even get into the fact that this is a president. I don't know, Barack Obama didn't do it. I don't think George Bush did. I don't know the last president that proposed a budget that would reduce the deficit and basically balance the budget in 10 years. It doesn't happen. They've got free money. It's called our taxes. Well, their money's drying up, so what are they going to do? They're going to increase taxes. There's more people on the entitlement program, so what are they going to do? They're going to increase our taxes. The number of working age adults on Social Security disability has jumped to an astonishing 1 in 20. That is 1 in 20 that we have gone from assisting the unemployed, that they were unemployed. Now we're just paying them not to work. I've got a, we'll call him a customer of mine, where I do my full-time job. He had ACL surgery, and his wife has fibromyalgia. This person has duped the system, him and his wife have duped the system to where they don't work. They collect disability. One's driving a Tahoe, which is at minimum $60,000, and one of them's driving a nice, fully loaded Silverado, $50,000, $60,000. In my best day, I couldn't afford to do that. This guy is milking the system, and it infuriates me. I've had ACL surgery. Yeah, it's a pain in the behind. You're in a lot of pain for a first month or two. But guess what? You get over it. You don't collect disability. I've got fibromyalgia. Yeah, it sucks. But you get over it. You fight through it. You do what you have to do. They've got kids. Why am I working, I guess, is the question. Because if I wasn't working, apparently I'd be able to afford a Tahoe, a Silverado, have a nice house, and go on trips all the time. Because that's what this guy tells me he's doing all the time. He got pissed at me. He won't work with me anymore because I called him out on it. I said, are you really disabled? I mean, yeah, you're walking around with a knee brace all the time, but I could do the same thing and say I'm disabled. I choose not to. I have a little bit of pride for myself. I'm prideful of the fact that my doctors have told me with my fibromyalgia, we need to consider disability. And I say, no, I'm going to work through this. I'm going to beat this. I'm proudful. I'm proud of that fact. I'm able to support my family. I'm able to give them a nice place to live. I'm able to buy a camper where we can go camping. I'm not rich by any means. It appears that I would be much more wealthy if I was able to collect disability, though. So maybe I did my family an injustice. But this budget is going to tell these people, look, if you can work, you're going to. There's no more free rides. Everybody. And I guarantee you, everybody listening to this broadcast right now knows someone who is fully capable, fully able to work, but chooses not to because, hell, they get the latest iPhone, they get free housing, food stamps, free food. Their freezers, their refrigerators are overflowing with food. I can't say that. My listeners who work for a living, who actually have to go to work every day, they can't say that. But these people who choose not to work, because why? I live better than this guy over here, and this poor schlub goes to work 50, 60 hours a week, minimum a week. I sit home, I'll text on my cell phone, I'll post on my cell phone, hey, look what I'm eating, a T-bone steak for dinner. I can't do that. Hey, look what I'm eating for dinner, ramen noodles, that's what I'm posting. There's something inherently wrong with the system, and this budget slashes it. This budget takes that support that these programs are giving and eliminates it. It tells them, you have to work. You're able to work. Do something with yourself. Have a little pride in you. Now, if you are physically or mentally unable to work, that's a different story. I've said it before. I don't have a problem helping you out. It's the ones, my parents' neighbors, our relative, many people I see coming into work on a daily basis that are fully capable of working, that choose not to, but are living better than any way, shape, or form that I could. The problem I have is, right now, the taxes that support these entitlement programs, this Medicare, this welfare, this food stamp program, they are supported by the top 20 of the earners. The top 20% of the earners, they pay 87% of these programs. Everything that they pay in taxes, 87% of that is from the top 20% of the earners in this country. Now, that's quite contrary to what we are being told by the Democratic machine and the political or the media elite. But 20% of the people are essentially paying for these programs. I don't think I'm in the top 20. Some of you listeners may be. So how does that make you feel? You work your behind off and you're taxed. Trust me, I see how much I'm being taxed every week. How does that make you feel? You're paying for somebody else to live a better lifestyle than most of the people in this country. Why do we work? Is that what the Democratic machine wants? Is everybody on the government payroll? Nobody works. How are we going to manufacture anything? Because they've demonized manufacturing. They've essentially demonized anybody that's working. This is the mentality of these people, and it's expanding. Give the Democrats this. They have no platform that they're running on. They're running on hate. They're running on prejudice. They're running on racism. But they do it better than anybody else, and it's working. Because there's a lot of hate out there. There's a whole lot of prejudice. There's a lot of racism. If you make a good living, you're looked down upon as a to the Democrats. You're screwing the system somehow. It can't be because, hey, I'm a hard worker and I do well, so I make more. Nope, that's not the case. You're screwing the system somehow. Okay. The education cuts that are in here are getting a lot of scrutiny. I have a lot of teachers that live in my neighborhood, and on Facebook we have a neighborhood Facebook page. Well, these teachers tend to spout their political views on our neighborhood page, which is whatever. You know, if you got to do it, you got to do it. Social media is a blessing and a curse. But listen, it's essentially giving the chore of education back to the states. This budget is saying the feds don't want anything to do with education anymore. Give it to the states. Why is that a bad thing? Well, Tom, states can't afford the education. States are having a hard enough time paying for what they've got. We need the federal dollars. Well, I can't speak for everybody, but in Michigan, we have the Michigan Lottery, which is supposed to go and fund our education programs. The Michigan Lottery brings in millions and millions and millions of dollars every month. Where's the money going? It's not going to the education. There's no way it is. The money spent on the Michigan Lottery, and I'm sure there's other states out there that are doing this, because in theory, it's a no-brainer. You got money left over. But the money spent on the Michigan Lottery and the money given to support our education, they don't match up. And the reason for that is because our state government and our state officials are banking on the federal government to fill the void, to give us the federal funding. So they can use those Michigan Lottery dollars somewhere else. Where they're using them, I have no idea, because they said, well, we're going to go ahead and use some of this money to fix the roads. If you live in Michigan or ever drove in Michigan, you know that that's not the case because the roads here suck. So where is the money going? Nobody knows, or nobody cares to find out. The whole thing about this budget is we have got to this point because we have no idea, or I should say our government has no idea how to control its spending. Because they've got an unlimited tap of money, and that's you and I. The money is eventually going to run out. and it is running out. I'm tapped. I'm sure all of us look at our paycheck and are looking at it going, my God, how much more are they going to take out? That's the sentiment from most of the workers in this country. And it all has to do with the fact that all these entitlement programs, all this Medicare, all this federally funded education programs that don't need to be there, they're not getting smaller, they're growing. So they have to tax us more. It's a never-ending cycle, and it has to stop. Yes, this budget is going to upset a lot of people, but we have to realize that eventually you have to make the tough calls. You have to. You have to cut the bloat. And it's going to hurt some people. But this money that they've been getting, that's not entitled to them. It never was meant to be. It was politicians pandering for your vote. Well, now I got to pay the piper. So let's give them money. People are expecting that money. This is a way of life to some people, living off the government. And it's not supposed to be that way. You have to cut somewhere. And you're going to upset people. But if you don't do it, you're not going to fix the problem. We're in debt trillion dollars right now. Minimum. It's going up all the time. When are we going to face the facts that you can't tax us to death? You know, we're tapped out right now. You got to cut. And this budget does so. And it scares a lot of people because a lot of people aren't ready for this. There's a lot of people that have lived off the government for years or maybe a lifetime that, well, if they want to collect welfare, they're going to have to get a job. They're going to have to do a drug test. They're going to have to prove that they cannot work. And I would say at least half of the people on welfare are more than capable of working. The only issue they have is laziness, lack of work ethic. That's not a disease. That's not something that I should have to pay for. That's not something you should have to pay for. So yeah, this budget is going to upset people. But it needs to be done. And I hope it goes through. Lindsey Graham, John McCain, I'm telling you, these two need to go away. They are such, you know, when they list the seats in the Congressional and the House of Representatives, they need to put these two on the Democratic side because they lean more Democratic. They're for the entitlement programs. They are totally against what Trump is going to do or trying to do. And I understand that. They are part of the establishment. The Republican establishment is scared to death of Donald Trump because he's changing the way Washington works. And they don't like that because if he changes the way Washington works, they're out of a job. Simple as that. But anyway, so the budget is just the least of our concerns. The Republicans, Paul Ryan at its helm, they decided to announce the border adjustment tax. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just going to spell it out plain as day. When I heard this, the first thing I thought of is, are these guys stupid? The border adjustment tax says, if you ship anything into this country, that you're an American company and you ship something in, or anybody ships something in, bam, 20% tax right there. Sounds great on paper. But in reality, what happens if you charge this company 20% on everything they ship over here? What are they going to do? Everybody answered the same way. Everybody answered the same way I did when I read this article. Oh, so you just increased the cost of living for everything we buy. Anything that comes from overseas, out of this country, has just raised its price by 20%. because the Republicans feel that will make us competitive. Well, maybe, just maybe, is to make us competitive, maybe you should help those companies that couldn't make it over here because we taxed the living daylights out of them. Let's drop the corporate tax on them, the business tax. Let's drop it 10%. Make it competitive that way instead of throwing it on to the American consumer. But the problem is they don't think that way. They're in their own little bubble, their own little world where they don't have to worry about money. They don't live paycheck to paycheck. So for them to have a 20% increase in the price of milk, pineapple, bread, whatever, anything, televisions, anything that comes over, for them to have a 20% increase, it doesn't matter to them. They've got money coming out of their pockets, falling out. For the average American, that's a huge increase. So when they say, oh, the border adjustment tax, well, they need to pay their fair share. Or you could make it better. You could drop the corporate business tax 10%. That's all you need to do, 10%. Give them a reason to come back here and hire American workers. That's a beautiful thing. So therefore, you bring more business here. You rebuild the manufacturing industry in this country. You put more people to work. You give more people disposable income to go out and buy that TV as opposed to paying 20% more and they can't buy it. And that stimulates the economy. So then you can run on a platform of, hey, this is what I did. I decided to drop the business tax 10%, and this is what it has done. It has given you more money. Wouldn't that be a better way to run than, I can give you free welfare? No, it doesn't work like that. The border adjustment tax, that is the one that should be dead on arrival, Lindsay and John. But of course, those two, they're all for it because, we need to be more competitive. Drop the tax. Drop the business tax to entice more businesses to come to America and do their work. That way you put more Americans to work. That's a novel idea, but, if you're a communist or a rhino, that doesn't fit with your plans. So that's my thought. That's my thought on the business or the border adjustment tax. Let's move on. So this story I'm about to relay to you infuriated me. When I read this, I thought, okay, this can't be true because I'm not hearing anything from any media outlet on it. But lo and behold, this is a factual story. This comes from Circa.com. Now, while the media is preoccupied and just obsessed with this Russian Trump ordeal, we have the news that the National Security Agency under President Barack Obama routinely violated American privacy protections while scouring through overseas intercepts, and they failed to disclose the extent of the problems until the final days before Donald Trump was elected president last fall. Now, this comes from once top secret documents that chronicle some of the most serious constitutional abuses to date by the U.S. intelligence community. How it stands is more than 5% or one out of every 20 searches seeking upstream internet data on Americans inside the NSA's so-called Section 702 database violated the safeguards Obama and his intelligence chiefs vowed to follow in 2011. Remember, he vowed to follow these intelligence guidelines in 2011. The Obama administration self-disclosed the problems at a closed-door meeting October 26 before the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, and that set off the alarm. Well, Trump was elected 2 weeks later. So what that tells me is, first off, they knew Trump was going to be elected. They knew it before anybody else did. Contrary to what the media said, Barack knew it. So he released all this information in a closed-door meeting so the media can't see it. And at that time, it was top secret. The normally supportive court censured administration officials, saying the failure to disclose the extent of the violations earlier amounted to an institutional lack of candor, and that the improper searches constituted a very serious Fourth Amendment issue. Now, that is from a recently unsealed court document dated April 26, 2017. The admitted violations undercut one of the primary defenses that the intelligence community and Obama officials have used in recent weeks to justify their snooping into incidental NSA intercepts about Americans. Is it crazy now that Donald Trump said he was spied on? Because 1 in 20 of us listening to this show, it appears, were spied on. So here's my take on this. Obama broke the law. That's thousands and thousands of federal offenses. Are we ever going to see any prosecution? No. You aren't even hearing anything about this in the media. You have to scour the underground dregs of society media pages to find this. Here's where I stand. Right now, there is word that there is maybe proof, I don't know, depending on who you talk to, that the Trump administration prior to the election colluded with the Russians. Jared Kushner was said to have set up a secret meeting and wanted secret dialogue between the two. Now, depending on who you talk to, some of my sources that are in Washington say, Tom, this is a normal occurrence. This is something that is not public knowledge. It happens all the time. The Democrats are just trying to blow this out of proportion. Regardless, it looks bad. So, it may sway public opinion. But let's say that there is collusion by Trump with the Russians. And there's impeachment hearings and he gets impeached. If that is to happen, I would expect the Democrats who are for the betterment of this country, who are looking out for the citizens of this country, to follow suit and file charges against the Obama administration and put them on record and put them up to scrutiny for the possibility of prison time, because they violated federal law thousands of times. And he knew it. He knew it. But you don't hear about it from the media. You don't hear about it anywhere. But we're going to hear all the time. We're going to talk about it next, the Manchester bombing. The Manchester bombing. Horrific bombing. Fox News, give them credit. 24 nonstop coverage of the bombing. You go to MSN and CNN. Oh, breaking news. Hey, there was a bombing in Manchester, but let's get back to bashing Trump, and let's get back to this Russian connection. You go to CNN or MSNBC, and all they're talking about is Trump, 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 Trump. There is a concerted effort to delegitimize the Trump presidency. Now, whether or not this Jared Kushner thing comes to fruition, it honestly has changed the view on a lot of people. But if that's the case, there needs to be some repercussions from the Obama or on the Obama administration for them violating what they said they were going to uphold in 2011 and spying out of 1 in 20 Americans. I guarantee you, somebody in my listening audience, I know I was, I guarantee it with my views and, you know, my voice gets out there, I know I've been looked at. I guarantee you some of my listeners, they're looking at you too. They have violated what they said they were going to protect, and that is your privacy. How does that make you feel? I keep asking that question because eventually some of you are going to say, you know what, that makes me pissed off. To the point that we might do something about it. I've had my brother's one of them. So many people tell me, well, Tom, if you're not doing anything wrong, what's the big deal? Okay, I get your point, but you're missing the big picture. The government shouldn't be able to spy on you. They have no right. They have no reason to. but yet they do. And a lot of people are all right with it. I have nothing to hide. Great. I know the government in your eyes is purely honest, not an issue, would never do anything unscrupulous. But it happens. If they have something that they want to get you on, they can manipulate anything. And they're spying on you. Our government, look it, our government isn't here for our best interests. They're here for their best interests. They're here to retain their power, to retain their position. We, the American people, are a detriment to their position and their power. So therefore, anybody that would be speaking out against them, anyone that they deem as a threat, they can concoct this any story they want, and it's good as gold. And you have no say on it. But you'll let them spy on you. So where's the outrage? Where is the media coverage on the Obama spying? This is a common thread during this whole presidency that he had. 8 years of unprecedented spying. And you can say, Tom, you know, Bill Clinton spied on us. George W. Bush spied on us. We don't have the documents. We don't have the proof on how much they spied on us. It's there. It's in black and white how much they spied on us. But yet the media is just like, whatever. Hey, Trump was in collusion with the Russians. There's no evidence, but we're going to make up evidence. And we're going to keep that story going. So we don't have to talk about how badly your rights and your privacy was infringed upon during the Obama administration. Because if we told you that, you would really be upset and you might want to have something done on it. It's nothing going to happen. If Trump gets impeached, I would expect the Republican Party to stand up and say, okay, you went after ours, we're going after yours. And hold, honestly, in my view, even if Trump doesn't get impeached, thousands and thousands of federal offenses this administration and this president incurred. And he's going to go scot-free as if nothing happened? I ask you, one of my listeners, to break one federal offense and see if it goes unnoticed. It doesn't happen. They will prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. But since he was a sitting president, well, you know, he's got some leeway. He's just the same as us. He had a title. That's it. He should be prosecuted. So before the break, I have to talk to you about the Manchester, England bombing. It's horrible. It's absolutely, unequivocally horrible. And it seems as if it woke people up to the horrors of terrorism because children were involved. And yes, it's horrible that children were involved, but why would it take children to realize, hey, we have a terrorism problem in England? Before, children were not involved. Now they targeted children at an Ariana Grande concert. And now, it's a big deal. Well, it should have been a big deal from the get-go, but we'll put that aside. First off, I want to say to everybody that is out there bashing Ariana Grande, and trust me, she's an idiot. Some of the things she has said, she hates America, she hates Americans at times, just ridiculous, ludicrous statements. Those are statements. She had nothing to do with this bombing. There are people that say karma's a bitch. It happened at an Ariana Grande concert. I'm not a big Ariana Grande fan. I honestly don't know if I would be able to recognize one of her songs. I guess I just aged myself, but the truth is, she's an artist. She was there performing her art, and her art is enjoyed by preteens and mostly teens. And these, as Donald Trump called them, losers in life chose to take that as a target. She had nothing to do with it. So, for those of you on Facebook that are bashing her, ease up. I genuinely feel that she feels horrible about what happened. She had nothing to do with it. But for the bombing itself, I have one question. Where's the outrage from the Islamic community? Where are the people in the Islamic and the Muslim community denouncing this bombing? You don't hear many, if any, of it. People are so upset because there's Islamophobia that people are afraid and judge and profile Muslims. Why wouldn't we? It's not a white Christian bombing these buildings. It's not a Jew. It's not a Hindu. It's not a, I don't know, an atheist going around beheading these people. It is Muslims. It's ISIS. And do we here care, the Council for American Islamic Relations, do we hear them denouncing these acts of terrorism? No. Do we have the sheiks around the world denouncing this terrorism? No. Maybe a few, but most of them, no. This is part of their religion. So when these people come up and say to me, and say to you, and say to the world, how can you be so racist? How can you be so intolerant? It's because your religion promotes this. Trust me, if we had Christians going around beheading, bombing, killing people, you would have priests, pastors, fathers, nuns, sisters, whoever, going out there. Churches left and right saying, we do not condone this, you need to stop. But you don't hear that. So that just makes the phobia, it makes the hatred, and it makes the racism and profiling of these people, it justifies it. Until these groups care, until the sheiks of the Muslim religion can come out and denounce this violence, there is going to be a little bit of racism. There's going to be a little bit of profiling. Because you don't know at this point who is trying to kill you. I don't understand why it's so hard for the left. Right now, after the bombing in Manchester, there were numerous posts criticizing the response from the media, criticizing people being afraid of Islam. It was almost like, screw the people who died. Islam is under attack here because they're being profiled. Well, of course they're being profiled because you didn't hear any denouncement, and it's no other group of people perpetuating this terror. Why would you not profile them? But then we have, and this is the idiot I was talking about in the beginning. You know, I like her music. It's pretty good, maybe. It's kind of gone by the wayside a little bit. But Katy Perry, the day after the Manchester bombings, she was on a talk show. And the host, he asked her, essentially, what would you do? What would you do to stop the terrorism around this country? Katy Perry, in her infinite wisdom, she responded with this.
The greatest thing that we can do now is just unite as people, as like fan bases, all of it, you know? Because I think as much, you know, whatever we say behind people's backs, because the internet can be a little bit ruthless as far as fan bases go. But I think that the greatest thing we can do is just unite and love on each other and like no barriers, no borders. Like we all need to just coexist.
True. And what happened last?
So Katy Perry's solution to our terrorism problem. Why did we not think about this before? Is eliminate borders. and just love one another. My God, why is she not the president of the United States? Our problems would be solved. Well, it's because Katy Perry's an idiot. This isn't about loving one another. This is about religion. This is religious doctrine. You can't fix that by loving one another. I guarantee you, you go up to hug an ISIS member, they will behead you. Maybe you should try that. And this idiot hosting the show, yeah, true, sure, yeah, I agree with you. This is the left's thinking. All we got to do is love one another, and everything will be fine. Look, I am all for loving one another. I really am. I think the world needs more of that. However, there are some people you cannot reason with. And ISIS and the Muslim, radical Muslim terrorists are one of them. They're a group of people you can't reason with. Their doctrine is you are a Muslim, you believe in their religion, you follow their beliefs, or you're an infidel and you die. Simple as that. How do you stop that with love? This is just like the Democratic congressman that said, well, we just need to give them jobs. Give them jobs. That'll take care of the problem. This is the rationale we're dealing with. You can't, I mean, honestly, you can't reason with it. This is the liberal platform. Love them. Just love them. And everything will be fine. Well, I'm going to tell you, go over there and love them and tell me how you do. If you can talk, because your vocal cords are going to be separated from your body after they behead you, Katie. The only way to beat this terrorism is to destroy it. I know it sounds harsh. As I've gotten older, I am no longer a big fan of war. But I also understand there are times when you have to use force. And this is one of them. You have to just take them out. You can't reason with them. You can't open the borders. You open the borders, oh, we're a borderless planet. Which we are. I understand that. But it's not about borders. It's about religion. The only way that these people are going to stop is if everyone on this planet converts to their religious beliefs. And until that happens, they are going to continue their terrorism throughout the planet. Unless the countries of this world decide to get their heads out of their behinds and just destroy them. This is not like we're fighting China or Russia or Japan or the United States. This is ISIS. There are areas in the Middle East where there's pockets of them. Take them out. It's as simple as that. Eliminate ISIS and you eliminate a lot of the terrorism problem. You will have terrorism. It's a guarantee. Humans, as I said, are a very violent species. But you're not going to have nearly as many. And it tells the other terrorists of the world, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to mess with this because I'm not ready to meet my 72 virgins. Puts a little doubt in their head. But until we decide to step up and just decide, okay, enough's enough. We're going to wipe these people out. Maybe the fact that they killed children this time and targeted children, it seems that will open up some eyes. But it's not about borders. It's not about loving them. That's ridiculous. That's a pipe dream. That's living in utopia, which she stated on her, what was it, Chained to the Rhythm song. She had the gall to say something about living in utopia in your bubble. As if you know everything about what general everyday Americans are going through, Katie. Just the hypocrisy and the lunacy on the left is unending. It's just ridiculous. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I'm going to have a brief, and I mean brief, encounter with a Chicago Mothman or two. And then we're going to have the Ask the Paranormal Patriot segment. And then we're going to segue right into the Brian Maddow Award, which I think you will enjoy because I don't think a lot of you have heard about this. but I just said the left is ridiculous. This takes it to a whole new level. So stay with us. We will be right back. You are listening to The Paranormal Patient. All right, this spot is going to be a little personal announcement from me to my listeners. For those of you who emailed me or messaged me while I was in Costa Rica, if I have not got back with you or commented or emailed or anything back to you, I do apologize. But keep in mind, I had no internet, no cell phone access while I was in Costa Rica for a week. When I came back into the Miami airport, my phone was nonstop. Bing, 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 bing. I had hundreds and hundreds of messages, contacts, whatever, everything. Breaking news, everything. So I just started deleting him. Come to find out, I've had some people contact me. Hey, Tom, I haven't heard from you. You okay? I may have deleted any messages that you sent me that was inadvertent. And I do apologize. So if you did want to contact me and I did not respond to you, please do it again. It's just me being an idiot and just mass dumping everything, or else I would have been there till June trying to clear everything out. One person in particular I do want to bring out is Katrina. Katrina, I did get your email. I haven't had a chance to get back with you. I do apologize, but I did listen to what you had to recommend to me, and I did enjoy it. So thank you, Katrina. I appreciate it. Please keep in contact. And for those of you who have not done it yet, please continue. Please start to share the show, mention the show in any post you have. Hey, I'm listening to the Paranormal Podcast or Paranormal Patriot Podcast. Just mention it. Anything you can do to promote the show, I greatly appreciate it. I know Andy does it. I know Danielle, Richard, Michael, Pat, Chris from Owasso, Brandon, who else? Chris from Wisconsin. Katrina, she's going to do it. There's so many people, I'm going to miss half of them, that are just every week, bam, it's clockwork. I get the show, I share it. I get the show, I mention it. I get the show, I retweet it. I need all of my listeners to do that. Help me out with this. I greatly appreciate it. All you need to do is listen to the show, either whatever social media platform you go on, Twitter, Facebook, Minds.com. All you got to do is say, hey, you need to listen to this show, and supply a link. Or just share the page. Anything you can do to promote awareness of the Paranormal Patriot. Because I believe what we talk about every week is pertinent to this country. And for those of you who listen to the paranormal side of it, it's pertinent to the paranormal aspect of the field that we investigate. So, again, anything you can do to help out in the sharing, retweeting, mentioning, I would greatly appreciate it. As always, in advance, we here at the Paranormal Patriot, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Alrighty, let's start the next segment with another moth slash owlman encounter, this time in downtown Chicago. This would make the seventh sighting of an unknown flying entity in the Chicago metro area. The difference on this is the first report of multiple beings. This report is from May 19th of 2017, and it goes like this. I was out at the breakwater with my best friend and her boyfriend. We were waiting for my boyfriend to finish helping his dad tie their boat to the dock after helping him bring the boat to the marina for the summer. We were standing on the shore by some picnic tables waiting on James to meet us there. We were talking when we heard this loud screech. It sounded completely out of this world, and after a couple of seconds, we heard another one, only louder and higher pitched than the first one. We looked around thinking we had heard an animal in distress and wondered if it needed help. That's when we saw this large bat fly into our view. It was black and came from the direction of the bridge that holds up Lakeshore Drive. It flew low and then shot up into the air as it came over the water. We noticed one of the Coast Guard helicopters was flying over the water at about the same time, but we're not sure if it saw this thing as it kept flying towards the Adler Planetarium. This thing flew a large circle and cried out again, and almost instantly it was joined by another large bat. These things were big and stood out against the sky. They flew figure eights around each other. It looked as if they were dancing in some strange sort of way. It was actually quite beautiful considering how freaking strange it was. About that time, my boyfriend walked up on us and scared the living bejesus out of us. Both myself and my friend screamed, and I think those large bats heard us because they screeched back at each other and both flew down towards the water. It looked as if they were going to slam into the water, and at the last second they pulled up and flew towards, and I'm assuming, under the bridge and out of sight. We ran toward the railing to look down to the river and saw nothing else. This encounter lasted about 1.5 to 2 minutes. It was scary, only because we didn't know what the hell they were, but it looked like they were interested in each other and not us. We can't be the only other ones to see it, as the riverwalk and pier were full of people and joggers. Are these things just giant bats, or are they gargoyles or people in those wingsuit thingies? Well, apparently this person doesn't listen to the show because they would know that I have essentially debunked the wingsuit thingies. There is obviously something going on in the Chicago area regarding moth / owlman sightings. Is there a male and female? Do they procreate? Were they doing a mating, quote-unquote, dance? Those are the questions that we may never know. But people are seeing things out there. And it's getting to the point that this is not a hoax. This is not a misidentification. You don't misidentify a 6-foot bat-type creature. You could say they are the wingsuits. But again, wingsuits, you need to start your descent from a high area. And based on the description where they're flying in figure eights, and then they swoop down and they go under the bridge not to be seen, that's not a wingsuit. It's some type of entity. And again, I asked Danielle, what are your thoughts? Did the moth / owl man, I know it's not per se New Jersey, but it's in your neck of the woods, has it migrated to Chicago? Again, they're supposed to be the harbinger of doom. Is something bad going to happen to Chicago? Well, yeah, I know that's an understatement, but what is going on? What is going on in Chicago? I need my listeners' opinions. Let me know what you think. If you think, Tom, you're nuts, there's nothing over there, let me know. I'm not going to think any less of you because, honestly, when I first started hearing of these, I'm like, Chicago ain't going to happen. But now we're on number 7 in the course of a month. Somebody's seeing something out there. But now I want my listeners' opinions on what they think it is. So now we get into the newest segment of the show. We get into Ask the Paranormal Patriot. And this week's question comes from Andy in Texas. We all know Andy. Andy has done a couple interviews with us. He is a regular contributor of the show, somebody who I consider a dear friend. Well, he asked me a very perplexing question. So I thought it would be best to use it on the show and give him my answer. So Andy's question is as follows. And let me tell you, this was a tough question for me to answer because I honestly don't know if I know the answer. But his question is simple. He said, Tom, do you think Trump will A, be impeached, B, resign, C, be assassinated, D, be fine, E, be good, F, be great, before his 4-year term is up? That's a tough one. I don't think I'm almost positive this guy is not going to resign. He has too much pride. He has never failed. Well, you can say he's failed, but he's never quit. at anything he started. So he's not going to resign. I don't think he's going to be assassinated. You know, and this might put me in hot water, but if Barack Obama didn't get assassinated, I don't think Donald Trump will get assassinated. Then we get be fine, be good, or be great, or be impeached. If you would have asked me this question 2 weeks ago, Andy, I would say no way in God's green earth this guy's going to be impeached. Now there's more and more sentiment that something is amiss on the Russian end of things. Whether or not there is, I don't, you know, it's up to speculation. But there are more and more people leaning towards the fact that there is something going on with the Russian investigation. He may be impeached. My general feeling is that not only will he be fine, he will be at least good, if not great. Because what he's planning on doing for this country is Reagan-esque. He has taken a page out of Reagan's book. He wants to lower taxes. He wants to reduce entitlements. He wants to balance the budget. How is that a bad thing? Now, the problem is you're going to have the liberals, which have no power right now, until you throw in the Republicans that were voted into office that are totally against him. Those are going to be the obstructionists. Those are what's going to stop Donald Trump from being great. I think he's going to be at minimum good. He will finish out his 4-year term. I think he will run again. And look at the map of the counties throughout this country that voted for him. It's an overwhelmingly red map. You have scattered blue and then blue on both coasts. You can't, it's not going to happen. I think he would win re-election. On the slim chance that he does get impeached, well, you're going to have Mike Pence in there. Mike Pence is a very capable politician who is very conservative. Now, he may be more establishment, but at this point, even if Donald Trump gets impeached and he can't finish his term, aside from the Democrats crying foul and saying, no, we don't want to go by the rules and have Mike Pence take over, we want a special election, and don't think they won't do that, because I guarantee you if Donald Trump is impeached, the Democrats are going to call for a special election to put in a new president in hopes that the next Democratic, be it Bernie Sanders, be it Joe Biden, whoever it is, that they get in. They're not going to follow the rules, because why start now? They didn't follow the rules before. Why do it now? But, Andy, in my opinion, I think Donald Trump will finish his 4-year term. I think he's going to get elected for a next 4-year term, and by the end of his presidency, you will see a changed America, and I think it's going to be changed for the better. Now, if history is any indication, after 8 years, America is going to be tired of a Republican president, and they're going to vote a Democrat who's going to just reverse everything. It's just a cycle. It's a horrible, vicious cycle. The Democrats have no platform to run on right now. They don't know what to run on now, other than socialism and Marxism and hate and violence. And there are going to be a core group of people that believe that. And after 8 years of a Donald Trump presidency, that people are going to be inundated with how horrible he is and what he's doing is wrong, that there will be some people that say enough is enough, and I think you'll have a Democrat after 8 years. But that is my thoughts. Let me know what you think. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. Contact me at theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. What? Ooh, I guess we are ready for the Brian Maddow Award. I'm going to send it to Tom on his patio in Owosso, Michigan. for the pre-introduction of the Brian Maddow Award. Tom, take it away. Hey, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. This week's Brian Maddow Award is going to be special. Not only is it an individual, but it is a group of individuals that are going to take home this award. We couldn't make enough trophies, so we're just going to give them one trophy and they can share it among themselves. They can pass it around at their SJW parties that they have every week, or maybe while they're protesting and rioting and destroying businesses and cars and assaulting someone who doesn't share their beliefs. Maybe they can pass that around and maybe club somebody over the head with this trophy. But regardless, they only get one. And they're lucky they get that because, as I mentioned on the show earlier, the ridiculousness of the left is reaching epic proportions. And this is the crescendo of the epic proportions that the left is taking. I don't want to give it away. So I am going to send it down to Tom Velasquez at the Lebowski Center in Owosso, Michigan, where he is going to crown this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. Hey, thanks, Tom. We are here at the Lebowski Center for another star-studded event, the crowning of this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. We have stars left and right. Amy Schumer apparently got out on bail for beating Tom Perez. She did a good job of it, though. That guy, I think he's still in a coma. Oh, look, Susan Sarandon, is she still relevant now? Oh, my gosh, Katy Perry is here. Katy, did you listen to the latest show? You're an idiot. Borders. Lack of borders and love? Yeah, go hug an ISIS member. Let me know how that turns out for you. Leah Durham, honestly, does anybody know who you are? Make sure. She doesn't even need to be here. Get her out of here. She is ridiculous. She's not even funny. Oh, we're ready? Okay. All right. I'm going to need some quiet on this one, so please. No, seriously, I need quiet because this is a special award. Nobody's being quiet. All right, let's just do it. This week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award, and I need a drum roll, please. This week's winner is the whole state of Oregon's SJWs. Yes, I know what you're thinking. What are you doing, Tom? But the SJW, the Social Justice Warriors in Oregon, have just produced a spreadsheet, a Google document spreadsheet that lists 60 Portland area restaurants, the names of their white owners, and the kind of cuisine that they serve, stating this is not about cooking at home or historical influences on cuisines. It's about profit, ownership, and wealth in a white supremacist culture. These white-owned businesses hamper the ability of people with color to run successful businesses of their own by either consuming market share with their attempt at authenticity or by modifying foods to market to white palates. Their success further perpetuates the problem stated above. It's a cyclical pattern that will require intentional behavior to change. The oh-so-tolerant left is now in war with white restaurant owners in Portland, Oregon, that have the audacity to have a multicultural restaurant, as if they have no idea how to cook that food. So for the white man who can make a just amazing sweet and sour chicken. You are holding back the Chinese man from doing the same. Even though that Chinese man can't make that sweet and sour chicken as good, because you're white, you have no business with this restaurant of yours. This is how far the left will go to bring white privilege to the forefront. For those of you in Portland, Oregon, please, please, for the love of God, start patronizing these white-owned businesses to show these leftists, these social justice warriors, which, who are they justice for? It's not for the American people. See, these social justice warriors, the newly awarded social justice warriors, they have no idea what they're doing, who they are supposed to be protecting. So they go out and they tell the American people in Portland, Oregon, don't patronize these restaurants because they serve Burmese or Cantonese or Japanese or Chinese food. And they're not any ethnicity. They're white. So they're taking advantage of their white privilege and profiting on the backs of the Mexican, the Chinese, the Japanese person who just can't do it because the white person, well, they have all the benefits. It doesn't matter that the white person can cook a mean General Tso's chicken, can cook a mean burrito, where the guy in the Mexican restaurant, well, he's not so much that good. That doesn't matter. It's because that guy is white. And you have no right to be cooking Mexican, Japanese, Chinese, Burmese, Cantonese, whatever food. You cook white food. Well, what is white food? White food is a combination of every culture. But they don't want to believe that. They don't want to even look at that. They just want to look at this guy's white. He's benefiting off the backs of the socially oppressed. Let's make a point out of it. So to you, the social justice warriors of Portland, Oregon, who decided to make it a stance to announce to the world, these people who are white own restaurants of ethnic origin. You are the latest recipient of the Brian Maddow Award. So when you're out justifying your purpose, when you are out helping the quote-unquote oppressed, you may have this award and you may raise it above your head proudly as you show the world how much of an idiot you really are. That's all I have for today, Tom. From the Lebowski Center in Owosso, Michigan, I send it back to the Paranormal Patriot Studios. To you, my good friend, Tom Velasquez. Alrighty, Tom. Thank you. Good thing that nobody ended up in a coma this week. Thank you, Amy Schumer, for holding back. That'll be the show for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I want everybody to have a happy Memorial Day. And remember what Memorial Day is about. Take some time out of Monday, actually out of every day, and thank someone who gave the ultimate sacrifice. So we are done for this week. We will be back next week. Thank you for listening. Please remember to share the show. Share it on Twitter, share it on Minds, Facebook, mention the show. Whatever you can do to help to promote the show is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. This is Tom Velasquez signing off. We'll talk to you next week.